If you would like to turn in your Bibles, we're going to be studying in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Once again, I want to welcome you and to express my appreciation to you for your being here this morning. We're very happy to see all of you. We're grateful that you've come. We have a wonderful opportunity today to worship our great God and Father in heaven, Jesus, our Savior, and we can certainly be thankful to the Holy Spirit for enabling us to be able to pick up our Bibles this morning and read and understand this great mystery that God has had in mind since the beginning of the foundation of the world. It is important that we give consideration to the Lord on days like this. The first day of the week is when the early Christians met together to worship the Lord. But it's also important for us to pay attention to the way we live, the way that we conduct ourselves each and every day of our lives. We've been talking in Ephesians about how interested God is in our lives, in who we are. He helps us to understand and identify who we are as saints, as followers of Christ Jesus. He helps us to understand our responsibilities as parents, as husbands and wives, as parents to children, and as Christians living in the world, working in the world. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, our everyday lives and how we conduct ourselves in the world. We're going to talk in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 5 and work through verse 9, about this worthy walk that Paul has identified for us in chapter 4, if you recall, where he requests that those who follow Christ would walk worthy in the manner of the vocation in which they have been called. And in so doing, we're going to be talking about walking worthy in work. How do you view the Lord every day of your life? We just sang a song that had to do with singing praise to Him every day. Is He your first thought in the morning, the last thought you have when you go to bed at night? Do you strive each day to keep Him foremost in your life as you go through it? Let's think about that as we're talking about what Paul writes here in this letter to the Ephesians. Because it's real easy to come to this text here in chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, and think that there's really no relevance in this passage for us. And walking worthy, however, of our calling is something that means honoring our parents. It means teaching our children in the Lord. It means doing all of those things that's required of those who follow Him. Because God cares about our lives. He cares about our lives in the home, our relationship as husbands and wives. He cares about how we handle ourselves as children. And He cares about how we handle ourselves as parents and our responsibilities in bringing up those children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And He cares about how we handle ourselves in regards to others. So this text, you say, is about slaves and masters. Well, how could it have any possible use for us today? Well, think about it for just a moment. Walking worthy of the calling means honoring each other and those that we work for. We've talked a lot about submission in this chapter 2 and the chapter before. This is part of that lifestyle that the Christian leads. And Paul is going to tell us how to be a servant, how to be submissive. Bond servants, he said, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by way of eye service as people pleasers or men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or whether he is free. So, Paul is going to tell us Something about what this slave to master or servant to master relationship looks like. Here is something that's going to help us learn how to submit or yield or serve in our jobs, in our positions today, in the workplace, in our everyday life. Now, I know that there are a lot of people who would tend to think that this paragraph has really very little to do with what we have in our lives today. But I think as you read this and begin to think about circumstances then and circumstances now, that relationship and that application is obvious. In other words, if God gave these instructions for how masters and slaves should conduct themselves, and these slaves are individuals who cannot get out of that relationship, they have no choice in that matter, then how much more are these instructions true for employer-employee relationships today, where we have rights and freedoms that those individuals in the first century simply did not have? I want you to think about applying it in that sense. Now, it's important for us to note that slavery in America in the 18th and the 19th centuries was far different than the slavery under the Roman Empire. The slavery found in America where a person was stolen and forced into slavery, that's condemned in the Scriptures. You can look back in Deuteronomy 24 and verse 7 and it tells you that plainly. There is so much that can be said about these differences that I don't think it's worth the time for what we're studying about in this lesson. But I do want us to have a sense of what it was meant, or what was meant rather, to have been a slave in the Roman Empire in that day. First of all, you had very few legal rights. Look at all the legal rights we have today. That's the first thing, it seems, that most people want to talk about. I know my rights. Well, I hope you do. Those slaves knew their rights very well. They didn't have any, to put it very simply. They lacked honor. Nobody submitted to them. Nobody held them in high esteem. Nobody honored them in the sense that Paul's talking about here. They received no honor whatsoever. And they were subject to whatever whims or punishments their masters deemed appropriate. They were not allowed to own property. And they could be separated from their spouses by the slave master if he so chose. Now, with this in mind, I want us to consider that the prescription that's given to us in the Scriptures is not to overthrow Rome and start a new system of government where there's a democracy. That's not what Jesus is telling these individuals to do. You can notice that right off. The Scriptures always guide about how to live under the law and the circumstances presented to us because of our government. We are to show ourselves to be Christians even if we disagree with the actions and the policies of our government. This is something that is just not approached by so many today. Now, when Paul wrote to these Romans, in Romans chapter 13, for example, to obey the government, it was not a free market, democratic kind of government that he wrote to those Christians to submit themselves to. Not that at all. And too often we act today like our obedience to the laws of the land is contingent upon having a moral, a godly, a democratic, capitalistic government. If it's not that way, then we don't have to pay any attention to it. We're free people over here. We can do whatever we want. And that's the way a lot of people seem to look at it, but nothing could be further than the truth. If you're going to comply with God's will, if you want to find out what the Lord Jesus is telling us about our responsibilities one to another, then we're going to have to pay attention to Jesus and not so many rabble-rousers that we have in the world today. We immediately learn that we submit no matter what system we find ourselves in. Presently, we find ourselves in an employer-employee relationship for our daily living. And so let's look at these scriptures as to how they apply to us and how we should act in that kind of an environment. So he's telling us how to be a servant. He wants you to serve like you would serve Jesus. That's the first thing that we need to think about here. Paul is going to tell us how these slaves were to serve their masters. As we read these verses that we've just posted up here this morning, we must consider that here is something that will help us learn how we're supposed to serve on our jobs today, in our relationships. Bondservants, he said, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart. And notice, as you would Christ. Not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he's a bondservant or is free. Is Paul just saying, don't pay any attention to this? Go ahead and live the way you can, do the best you can? No. No, he said, you serve how? As if you were serving the Lord. Now think about that for just a moment and how it applies. Slaves are to obey their earthly masters. Serve them just like you would serve Jesus. This is the character of how we serve. And it's important that we realize that. We are to obey those who have charge over us on this earth. And you consider how broad this teaching reaches. Anyone who has rule or authority over us, we are to obey them. And notice the character of how we are to serve. We serve as if we were serving Jesus, because in reality, we are. We are going to serve and to work as if we were working and serving Jesus. Now, do we approach our jobs with that same kind of disposition? Paul is telling us that this means that we serve wholeheartedly, that we serve sincerely, that we serve genuinely. Obedience to Jesus is with a sincere heart. Do we offer the same heart, the same disposition of mind for our work to our masters? Another thing we need to notice here is that there is no excuse if we have a bad master. If we had a bad employer, there is no excuse that we can just walk out, quit. Paul, you'll notice, doesn't tell us what to do in any other way here. We're to offer the same heart for our work to our masters. This is usually the justification that we give for our half-hearted service, isn't it? We don't think about what we are doing here for the Lord. We'll say something like, well, the person I'm working for, he's just clueless. He doesn't know anything and he doesn't know what he's doing. Therefore, I'm just not going to work as hard for him. So we overcome this thinking with a determination to obey and to serve from the heart, as an expression of our commitment to the Lord. Imagine if Jesus were telling you to mop the floor. Imagine if Jesus was telling you to do computer work. Whatever kind of work it is, just imagine you're serving the Lord, and in a sense, He is telling you to do this. So we work with that kind of attitude or disposition. We serve with integrity. Wherever we are, whatever our job is, we serve with integrity. Not by way of eye service, as men pleasers or people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You notice in all four of these verses, he mentions something about God, about doing this because of your relationship with God. We're not to work only when the boss is watching, as you notice. We render service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, that he will receive back from the Lord, whether he's a bondservant or is free. How do we serve? It matters, doesn't it? It matters to God. It should matter to us. We are not to work only when the boss is watching. That's deceitful and that's stealing. Is that the category you want to be in, or do you want to be acceptable in God's sight? This is something that I know it drives people crazy. It does me. It used to be a whole lot worse than it was, or is now. When I first started working in the secular world. It's something that you have to learn to deal with. Do you work as if the master is watching you? Or do you work like he's not there? Do you work like the employer's working? If he's gone, there's little work to be done. How many times have we told ourselves, well, you know, it's Friday, the boss is not here, I don't have to do anything. We'll just ride this out and start over Monday morning. How many times have we looked at that? There is a difference. I just imagine that wherever you work, there is a difference in the way that people work when the boss is present. Now, I'll admit that sometimes I don't want to do my hard work because I just didn't think of it as serving the Lord. But that's the kind of frame of mind that we need to get into. And I did it because I'm not a gabby stand around the water cooler kind of person and talk about everything that's gossip around the job place. People would waste time talking about things all around them instead of doing what they were supposed to do. In fact, sometimes you'll hear expressions like this, well, if we haven't heard a good rumor by 10 o'clock, we'll just start one. You hear all kinds of things, don't you? Well, Christians are supposed to be different. We're supposed to do our work in a certain way, and when we realize this, this is what keeps Christians going. This is the basis for all that we do. This is what makes us different from the rest of the world. We are to work whether the boss is watching or not. And that should be our disposition. Paul teaches us that we cannot go in and do work just as little as possible because that's not the way you serve the Lord. People will come in and ask, are you working or hardly working? Working hard or hardly working? Well, you know what kind of response that usually gets. If you are working hard, working very diligently at your job, a lot of people are going to look down on you because they don't want to do that. And it's just the same way with the rest of the world when it comes to sin in the lives of people. They don't want you being a good example. They want you to be just like them. And so they rant and rave about it. This cannot be our answer nor our attitude. Our attitude has to be the one that Paul's talking about here. Sometimes you'll go into a store, a certain place, you need something, you're in a hurry. And you can't get the person behind the checkout counter there to even talk to you. They're busy playing on their cell phone or they're talking to their friends. Does that make you just a little bit upset? You ever want to ask them who their master is? Christians give their all. You can understand a lot of people are not going to give their effort until they realize what they learn here. Christians learn to give their all because they understand this relationship. Christians always work hard for the Lord. And you know why? I want you to pay attention to that next verse, verse 8 there. We're serving for a heavenly reward. We're not serving just because we want a paycheck. Not by the way of eye service, he said, as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord. Who's the master here? The real master? Whether we're bond servant or slaves or free, who's the real master here? When you look at verse 8, you begin to understand why Paul is saying this. We have one master, and that master's in heaven. And this is another reason why we work with all of our hearts. We strive to obey our masters as unto the Lord. We are to know that we will be rewarded by God. And this helps us to overcome that feeling that our employer is taking advantage of us. And yes, he may be. But how does the Lord tell us to work? We work for a heavenly reward. Now, I'm sure that these slaves in the Roman Empire were usually being taken advantage of. And this is why so many of them wanted to run away, because the conditions were severe, and this feeling of injustice and this sense of unfairness often leads people today to do things like steal supplies from where they work, or to work in a half-hearted manner, what they're doing is stealing time off the clock. They steal the time that's not theirs to take. They're taking time for their own personal use when they should be working for the master. They're taking advantage of the situation because somehow or other they've tricked their minds into thinking that they deserve it. These are the ways that we should realize that are not right. And we fight this thinking by recognizing that we do our work knowing that we're seen of the Lord. He's always watching. We know we're going to be rewarded. He's watching to see what kind of disposition you have. He wants to know that you're serving with a good will, that you're doing the will of God from the heart, and that you know that you're going to receive back from the Lord in comparison to what you've given. This is not a time when we're not showing, or there is not a time when we are not showing glory to God in our works. Work is one of the places where we spend a significant amount of time every day. The hard work is to show that we serve Jesus first and foremost. Even if we do not like our work, even if we feel like we're being treated poorly, young people need to hear this today. They need to recognize how the Lord wants them to conduct themselves. That's why Paul is so adamant here about the relationship that we have with God. It's important that they hear and understand this. You know, I get kind of tired of young people wanting to start at the top. They want to be the executive. They want to be the boss. They want to have the top position. Why in the world do they think that? Where along the line did they manage to fool themselves into thinking that? Work is work. That's why we have to pay people to do it. Work is not fun. Work is not vacation. This should not be work that we think that is too low for us to do. And yet there are those today who do just that. We do the work. You're serving Jesus. They didn't have a choice. We need to be making the right kinds of choices in view of what the Lord wants us to do. When you're serving the Lord, He doesn't care if you're flipping hamburgers or working on cars or you're the CEO of a huge technology company. It doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point is, do you serve Him like He talks about here? Do you serve your master like he talks about here, your employer, in other words? That's where Paul's coming from. He also has some things to say here about how to be in charge, if you noticed. When you start reading in these verses, he says, "Masters, do the same to them, and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him." Verse 9, gives instructions on how to deal with those who are below us. It doesn't matter what the project is. Whether we're on a project, whether we're middle management, or you have charge over a certain task. Or you the guy out there digging the ditches, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. There are times when we're going to have authority over others on the job. There will be somebody that needs to listen to what we tell them. And God has directions for us when we have those situations as well. Because how we treat others, in whatever position of authority it is, matters to the Lord. We may not be at the top of our jobs, but we often have people who work for us. And Paul begins by saying that everything that was told to the servant here is also true of the master. Now granted, a lot of people don't pay any attention to this, but he says, "Masters, do the same for them. Therefore, those with authority must exercise that authority with integrity, giving all of your heart and effort to the work in trying to be the kind of person the Lord wants you to be. We will exercise the authority given to us in such a way that we will be pleasing to the Lord because we know how the Lord is watching. We know the Lord is watching how we will use that authority that we've been given." masters would threaten their slaves all of the time in order to get the desired results. They may take a severe beating. They could threaten them with punishment and beatings and in such a manner get them to do what they needed to do, because if they didn't do it, they knew what was coming next. God's people do not do this. They don't act that way. Even though they have the power or the right to do such as a master over the slave, God's people will not do this. They wouldn't do it then, and they don't do it now. There's other motivation involved here as well. Remember, he's talking about how to be in charge, and there's another motivation given for the Christian. Though you may have authority in a certain instance, you're not the ultimate master. You've got someone, no matter how high you go, who is over you. And God is that ultimate master, and you're the slave to him. In this case, it's that willing slave. You've given your heart to the Lord. You're willing to do any and everything that he asks you to do. And that's who Paul is talking about here. These are Christians at Ephesus. And by the same token, as we read this, we realize how important it is for us to apply the same thing in our workplaces today. These are the kind of things that he expects of us. And though you have authority, you are not the ultimate master. Further, Paul says you share the same master with those who are in subjection to you. We all serve the same God regardless of our position. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Now think about that. We do this with two motivations. We love Jesus and we want to show the world our love for him through how we work. And secondly, we know we will be rewarded by God for our hard work. So, as you think about these responsibilities that Paul has given, you need to realize the significance that God cares what you're doing. It doesn't matter if it's on Monday or Friday or Sunday, he cares. And some folk act like God only cares on Sunday, or that he only cares once a year. God cares about what's going on at work. He's watching what each of us are doing, what we're experiencing, just as a parent watches over their child. If you don't think that, just read Hebrews chapter 12. He cares for you. But he wants you to learn how to live right. He wants you to learn how to conduct yourself in this world. Whether you're parent, child, employer, employee, whatever. He wants you to learn what's expected. And whatever position we're in at work, we're working for the Lord. We're not working for ourselves. We're not working for other people. We're working for the Lord. We don't do it only when the boss is watching. We do it because we're sincere about what we do. We care about what we do. And therefore, we work with integrity, and we give what we're supposed to give to our jobs as an expression of our commitment to Jesus. Paul requests that we serve as unto the Lord. No matter where we find ourselves in this situation, we serve as unto the Lord. Many of those slaves at that time didn't know the Lord, but they learned about Christ through men like Paul and Silas and Barnabas and all of those others we've been studying about in Acts. They learned from men like the apostles and so on, inspired teachers who were able to instruct them. And this is exactly what we're seeing, the writings of those inspired teachers, the message that those individuals gave, in order that we could live, we could conduct our lives in this world in the way that's right. But of course, if you don't know the way that's right, if you're not in a right relationship with God, then conducting your life as unto the Lord is not a consideration. But it needs to be Because no matter where you are, you have one master. No matter who you are, there's one master that you're going to answer to eventually. And that's our great God and Father in heaven. We will stand before Him one day in judgment, and we'll give account of the way that we've lived. And if we haven't paid any attention to the words of Jesus, as He says in John 12, in verse 48, the outcome, the result, is not going to be good. The consequence is something that no one wants. But that's the way it will be if we've ignored what God has told us. God wants us to be right in His sight. He wants us to get our lives right. He wants us to get our hearts right. He wants us to serve Him from a good and honest heart, serve Him sincerely, worship Him in the beauty of holiness and gladness that can be those who are followers of Christ Jesus, who are willing to allow Him to guide them each and every day, and who, as they learn more about Him, will become that first thought in the morning and that last thought in the evening. How do you approach your life? I can tell you one thing, you're like a hamster running in a cage if you don't have God in there. You're just wearing yourself out for nothing and you're getting nothing out of it. Only the Lord Jesus can provide those things that we need for eternity. And He asks that you trust Him, that you have faith in Him. He needs you to repent of that old life so He can forgive you. He's willing to forgive all of those who will come to Him with remorse in their hearts, realizing they've not lived the way they should, and are willing to obey, and purposing in their heart to obey the remainder of their lives. He stands ready to forgive. He wants you to become a part of His group of followers. He wants you to be baptized into Christ Jesus and rise to walk in newness of life. If we can assist you with that this morning, would you come as we stand and as we sing?